You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
We get into the Jets, the Giants, and the league. Ryan Dunleavy, New York Post. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
What's up, Chris?
Well, quite a bit, and I'm sure your phone's going to be buzzing quite a bit the next few days. So first and foremost, Ryan, what do you anticipate from the Jets as far as how much of the money they're going to spend and where they're going to spend it in the next few days?
I think they're going to definitely address their playmaker need. I think they'll definitely address their offensive line need, and I think they'll definitely address their pass rusher need. I had something in the Post today with the top 30 free agents making some calls, trying to think along with agents and teams and executives, and I gave them Joe Tooney from the Patriots, the offensive guard, and I gave them Yannick Ngakoue, the pass rusher from the Ravens, two guys who they were connected to last offseason, but they didn't want to give up the resources in a trade for Ngakoue, and the Patriots tagged Tooney, so they didn't really have a chance to get either guy. I think a year later they'll probably get both. But if not those guys, there's other guards, Trey Turner. There's plenty of pass rushers. It's a year you won't see a lot of quarterbacks available because they've already been traded, but you'll see a lot of receivers, guards, and pass rushers, the guys who can make a quarterback's life easy or miserable.
Did that philosophy, you think, shift in the last few days when both Godwin and Allen Robinson got franchised by their respective teams?
Yes, publicly I think it did, but I think executives kind of knew that's where it was headed. Everybody I talked to was monitoring that receiver market pretty closely. People thought Allen Robinson would get tagged. He's not happy about it. He's certainly a trade candidate. Chris Godwin got tagged. The Bucs had a decision to make between Godwin, Shaq Barrett, the pass rusher, and Levante David, the kind of heart and soul of their defense. They tagged Godwin, re-signed David, and now Shaq Barrett's still kind of lingering out there. People think he might go back to the Bucs, but he could certainly get blown away by a team with a lot of cap, whether that's the Jets, the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Jaguars. I think people were monitoring the wide receiver market, and obviously the real winner there is Kenny Golladay because he's probably the only true number one receiver, with all due respect to Juju Smith-Schuster or Corey Davis or Curtis Samuel. It's kind of Golladay or bust, and there's about 12 teams that need a number one receiver.
Agreed on that. Ryan Dunleavy, New York Post. Where do we stand here with Deshaun Watson? It was a circus this past week with David Culley out there in Houston having to answer questions, and the GM is nowhere to be found, neither is Jack Easterby. Is this still a consideration for the Jets at this point?
I think it is. Most people I talk to believe it's really for the Jets. It's either Sam Darnold or a rookie quarterback. But look, this is where Joe Douglas is really going to define his career with the Jets, because if they don't get him, that's one thing. If the Dolphins get him, that's another. Because you're already behind Buffalo. You're always scared of New England. And now if Deshaun Watson ends up on look, if the Jets don't get him and he goes to Carolina, it's like, okay, we took our best shot. If the Jets don't get him and he goes to Miami, and I was listening to your show earlier about the Schefter tweet that teased America, Texans and Miami have a deal. if that's where he goes, then that's a double whammy for Joe Douglas. Then you're starting over with Zach Wilson while you're facing Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson four times a year. That's quite the hole. It doesn't matter how much free agency money you have. That's quite the hole to dig out of.
Are the Texans going to overplay their hand here, Ryan?
I don't think so. You know this, Chris. Deadlines make deals. And I think as we get to the NFL draft, they can't wait past this NFL draft. They can't, no matter what they say, no matter what you hear from other people, they can't sit here and say, okay, let's see if he reports in July. Because if you make a trade in July after he shows you he's not coming to training camp, you have no idea what picks you're getting. Look at the Raiders and Bears trade a couple years ago for Khalil Mack. They made that trade in the summer. And the Raiders ended up with picks in the 20s. You can't trade Deshaun Watson when you know you could get maybe the number 2 pick from the Jets or maybe the number 3 pick from the Dolphins. Plus, you can't overplay your hand, wait till the summer. And sure, you might get 3 first-rounders, but if they're all picks in the 20s, I'd rather have the number two pick right now.
Ryan Dunleavy, New York Post, joins us. If you're Joe Douglas, would you rather draft Zach Wilson or ride it out for another year with Sam, see where you're at, and trade back a few spots from the second pick and continue to load up?
Yeah, that's a good question. What would I rather do? I think I would ride it back with Sam for a year, but people I talk to around the NFL, I want to stress this, Chris, it's not within the Jets. The Jets have been pretty tight-lipped about this.
Yeah, they really have.
People I talk to in other organizations think the Jets are going to make the deal. They're gonna get rid of Sam. They're going to start over with the new quarterback. And it's not because they're giving up on Sam. It's because of the financials of the NFL. And I'm sure your audience knows, you know, you start over with a rookie quarterback, you get 4 years, and it's basically about $8 million a year on your salary cap for those 4 years for a rookie quarterback contract. If you have Sam Darnold this year, and then say you fifth-year option of next year, which you have to decide of May of this year before you see him play again, and then say he does well and you franchise tag him, then you have him for 3 years at like $20 million per year on your salary cap. So it's a huge difference. I think it's the right time with a new head coach, a new offense. It's the right time to start over.
With the Giants spending money, we talked to Jordan earlier, and he's feisty about it. I understand they can create some room if they get a deal done with Leonard Williams, but I don't know. I've been hearing that for about 2 years, and I don't know if that, you know, a contract for Leonard Williams exists. It's kind of like Bigfoot. I hear about it, but it never seems to show itself.
Yeah, I've been hearing that they're optimistic on both sides for, you know, most of the last 18 months. And, you know, look, it's not just on the Giants. I applaud the Giants for not just giving in and, you know, giving him $22 million a year or whatnot. Leonard Williams comes out and says he wants to play in New York. He has enough money to retire. It's not all about the money. Well, at some point, it clearly is all about the money because he's not taking whatever their best offer is. So there's blame on both sides there. Look, it's not just Leonard Williams. The Giants have they're paying a running back much more than most teams pay a running back. And they have Evan Engram and Jabril Peppers probably playing on 50-year options. If you want to create salary cap space, you don't have large one-year contracts. That's just it's not what you do. And so they haven't worked out restructures with Engram. And, you know, that's obviously touch and go now because, you know, his future is up in the air. Joe Judge loves him, but the fans certainly don't. You know, they don't have a deal worked out with Peppers. They don't have a deal worked out with Leonard Williams. The Giants really haven't gotten many deals done except for, like, Nick Gates and Graham Gano, and neither one of those is going to help out your salary cap.
No, they are not. No, they are not. So I guess the question is, are the Giants going to be better next year from a talent standpoint? We understand that the draft is still to come, and they have the 11th pick, but I don't see the pathway here at the moment. Maybe I'm just being a little pessimistic about it, but I don't see it.
No, I don't think you are. I think they'll be marginally better. Saquon comes back. They'll probably add one splash free agent. I would guess pass rusher if I had to. I don't think it'll be Shaq Barrett. I think it'll be Leonard Floyd or Hassan Reddick or Carl Lawson, somebody like that, Trey Hendrickson. That second-tier pass rusher, still a good player, splashy move. I think they'll do that. I think they'll get an offensive weapon, number 11 overall, whether that's Kyle Pitts, Jaylen Waddle, Devonta Smith. And so I think they'll be marginally better. I think, you know, the two areas that are really hampering the team are the pass rush and an offensive playmaker. I think they'll address both. But I don't think, look, they still don't have a lot of depth. Daniel Jones is still a huge question mark. And we haven't even talked about the offensive line, which I think definitely got worse this week. And they still don't have a legitimate NFL caliber number two cornerback. Forget number three cornerback, number four cornerback depth. They don't have a starting quarterback, a cornerback opposite James Bradbury. So there's a lot of holes. I think they'll get marginally better. Do I think they'll be a playoff team next year? I don't.
Wow, feeling good. Feeling good. Outstanding stuff, Ryan.
Mr. Optimism.
Last one. Anything that you are I hate to put it this way because it's a weird way to put it, but expecting to be surprised by. Is there a surprise move coming? Not Jets, Giants, just league major shift as a whole that's going to be surprising in the coming weeks.
I mean, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot of bargains to be had on the free agent market. I think the top of the market will go really quickly, and I think a lot of guys who are, you know, agents have told me this is not a good time for their clients to be free agents. So I think you'll probably see a lot of one-year deals with guys trying to get back on the market next year when the salary cap is up. So I think you could, a shrewd front office could spend, you know, find some bargains to really improve. As far as, you know, I think the Jaguars could spend like drunken sailors. I think that's definitely a possibility. Urban Meyer didn't go there for a long rebuild. He went there to turn it around quickly, and they have the most salary cap space available. So it's not been a premier destination free agency-wise. I think you shouldn't be surprised if by Thursday you're like, wait a minute, how many guys did the Jaguars just sign? That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Ryan, good stuff, man. Enjoy the rest of the weekend and get a little bit of a breather before it all kicks in tomorrow.
Yep, sounds good. Selection Sunday before then, too.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I got a rough few hours in front of me here. Ryan Dunleavy, New York Post. Terrific stuff, as usual. 800-919-3776. I'm really having trouble. If the Giants go and get a pass rusher in free agency, and they get a high-level pass rusher in free agency, then I think they've done their job, and then we see how they can play out the rest of that market and to see if they can hit those bargains that are to be had. But, you know, I'm not signing Hassan Reddick unless you can guarantee me he can go up against Andrew Thomas every week. Because five of those sacks came one week that we all remember. Yes?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.